Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to review 2019 and look forward to 2020 with the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And our first guest in the audience in the studio today is Major General John Jensen, who is took over as the 31st Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard on November 4th, 2017, and a frequent guest of the show. We hear him every week with a message about one thing or another. General, good to have you in the studio.
Tom, it's great to be back with you. Thank you very much.
General, November 4th, 2017, first couple of years, they go by kind of quick.
I know. I was just talking about this with Chaplain Nguyen. You know, we're over 2 years now as the Adjutant General, and it's gone by very, very fast. It has been a great 2 years. I know we're going to talk about 2019, 2020 here in a little bit, but it has gone by very fast. You know, we've accomplished a lot in the Minnesota National Guard, and I'm just so proud of the team that we have, both our airmen, our soldiers, our state employees as well. We don't talk about them very much, but they're a key contributor to the organization as well.
Sir, as I understand it, you actually have kind of two jobs. You're the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard, both Air and Army, but you also serve on the governor's you're like a commissioner for the governor and in charge of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs?
That's correct. So that would be the state part of the National Guard in my role as the commissioner of the Department of Military Affairs. And with Governor Walz, he's asked me to serve on some of his cabinets. For example, you know, we're supporting the Children's Cabinet, which is a very high priority for him. We also serve on his Inclusion and Equity cabinet as well. So we're fully integrated into everything the governor and the lieutenant governor are doing and working on behalf of the citizens of Minnesota.
So, sir, we've talked about this in the past. If you talk about reserves, they have a federal mission. But when you talk about the guard units in each state, they have both a federal and a state mission. And so you report to the Department of Defense, but you also report to the governor.
Yeah, and last year in 2019, the governor had us out on two occasions with fairly significant state active duty missions. One, we were up in the northwest corner of the state during the Red River flooding. We were up in Oslo assisting the great citizens of that city during their time of need. And they were just fantastic to work with. I spent Easter Sunday up in Oslo with our unit from 2 of the 136. Up there, enjoying some time together, but also realizing the important role that we play to help preserve and protect lives and property. And then also, earlier in 2019, Governor Walz called us out down in the Austin, Minnesota area. We had terrible ice storms down there. Power lines were down everywhere, and there was a significant loss of power down there. So as power teams came from throughout Minnesota and throughout the Midwest to come restring those power lines, we were out doing traffic control points, making sure that the roads that needed to be closed were closed. And so that was, again, another opportunity to serve the citizens of Minnesota.
We're speaking today with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, we've talked about, you know, floods and tornadoes and snow and in the state missions, but you also have a federal mission. And over the last almost 10 years of this show, we've been observing the fact that it seems like the Minnesota National Guard serves kind of above its weight.
Well, I don't know if we serve above our weight. I never like to make that claim. I just like to say that we fulfill every mission that the Department of Defense, the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force gives us. And so if they need our expertise, they need our soldiers, our airmen, our equipment somewhere in the world, we will do that, and we'll provide them high quality units with high quality soldiers and airmen. So yeah, 2019. You know, it's a combination of people going and people coming back home. You know, probably the biggest one in 2019 was the 34th Infantry Division headquarters, their deployment over into Kuwait and actually to multiple countries in the CENTCOM area of operations. But, you know, we also had other units that were there. For example, the 851st Engineer Vertical Company were over there. I had the opportunity to visit them when I visited the division. Charlie Company 2, the 211th General Aviation Support Battalion, was there flying their medevac mission. I had a great visit with them while I was with them. And, you know, that's just a small piece of everything that we sent. You know, one thing that we don't talk about is while we mobilize units fairly significantly, we also have soldiers and airmen that volunteer to deploy as individual augmentees. And we've had, you know, multiple experiences with our soldiers and airmen in 2019 doing that as well. And then, you know, at the back end of the year, the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade mobilized. And as we taped the radio show today, you know, they're en route into to theater. Initially, we're down at Fort Hood. And then as we speak today, they're en route into theater. So we're really excited about that mission for them and look forward to hopefully seeing them next year.
General, as the Minnesota's adjutant general and the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard, there's two sides of that, the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard. And, of course, we've got the 133rd Airlift Wing out at the Minneapolis Airport and the 148th Fighter Wing up in Duluth. And seems like the soldiers go out in bigger groups and for longer times, but the airmen are traveling continuously, but smaller groups and a little shorter times.
Yeah, when we talk about the Air Guard, we traditionally talk about the wings, but the wings, you know, that's an umbrella that it's several smaller elements, squadrons, and in some cases groups exist underneath the wing, and so they're organized not much different than the Army in the sense that they have smaller organizations that then build into a bigger organization. But, you know, if you would think if we deployed the entire 133rd Air Wing, we would basically have to shut down that wing's operations here. And so what the Air Force likes to do is take squadrons from several wings across the United States and deploy them into packages together. And so the Air Guard is much more expeditionary in that sense, that they'll take elements from across the country, bring them together for short periods of time for a very specific mission in theater, and then they come back. And what that allows us to do is to ensure that our air bases remain open, remain operational.
In general, we've talked many times on the show. We've got the 133rds out at the airport here, 148s up in Duluth, but both of them make use of a tremendous training facility out in the middle of the state, Camp Ripley.
Oh, yeah. Camp Ripley is just a gem. You know, we had the first Army commander, Lieutenant General James. We hosted him at Camp Ripley this summer just in part to show him the capability at Camp Ripley. And he was incredibly impressed with the training capability that we have there at Camp Ripley, both for the Army but also for the Air Force as well. And so you know, as part of our mission, we are always marketing Camp Ripley to the Army and to a smaller degree to the Air Force to ensure that, you know, we're able to keep a large number of units and people training there throughout the year. And so although it's wintertime now, later this month, later in December here, the National Guard Biathlon team will be coming to Camp Ripley, taking a look at our ability to host the 2020 biathlon championship for the National Guard. So that's just one example of how we continue to use that facility during the summer. Many of your listeners are very familiar with the Norwegian exercise, or the NORWEX, as we call it. You know, 2019 was our 46th anniversary, and so we'll be powering up number 47 here late winter, early spring, and look forward to that every year.
General, I have to take a short break. We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And, General, we were talking about 2019, and I understand you've got a couple of units that won some pretty nice awards last year.
Yeah, that's right. 2019 was very good to the Minnesota National Guard in terms of national level recognition of units and individuals. And just, you know, to name a few, our Army National Guard medical units were acknowledged for their work in medical readiness. And we won what's called the large state award for medical readiness. The 148th up in Duluth was recognized by the Air Force Association as an outstanding Air National Guard flying unit award. They also earned the 2019 General Welsh Air Force One award. Very interesting. We just found out this week the 34th MP Company, for the first time ever in the Army National Guard, our MP Company, was awarded the Major General Banholtz Award for the best MP company in the Army. And as I said, first time an Army National Guard unit received that award. And then we had some great soldiers and airmen receive recognition as well. Sergeant First Class Jennifer Stiffarm was awarded recognition by the Society of American Indian Government Employees. CW3 Harry Ballard was the Black Engineer of the Year Award. 2018 Air National Guard Athlete of the Year, if you will, the Heisman Trophy for the Air National Guards, how I like to call that, Tech Sergeant Amy McMillan. 2019 Air National Guard Senior NCO of the Year, Master Sergeant Mark Jerkovich from the 148th. As it relates to excellence and diversity, Major Corey Robinson from the 133rd in the state headquarters was awarded. And that's just a handful of the many awards that our units and our soldiers and airmen earned over 2019. So we're very proud of all of them. It's just fantastic to be able to recognize those units and soldiers and airmen.
Sure, you got some great soldiers and airmen out there doing a good job for the state and the country, and I'm sure you're proud of them. General, we talked about in the last segment just briefly your state partners. You have a federal mission, you have a state mission, but you've got a couple of European state partners, Norway and Croatia. Can you explain why that's been a longstanding? Why do we have those partnerships?
Yeah, well, the Norwegian Exchange and the Norwegian Home Guard partnership goes back over 46 years now, where we have sent approximately 100 guardsmen over to Norway. They send approximately 100 soldiers our way. And it's just a way to connect with, first of all, a NATO ally with us, but it's also our heritage and our lineage, the Scandinavian heritage and lineage, allows us to stay connected to that as an organization. And I've been able to participate that as a young soldier, as a senior officer, now as the adjutant general. And everyone who has that experience will talk about what a highlight that is in their career, whether they're a Norwegian Home Guard soldier coming this way or a Minnesota National Guard soldier airman going that way. So we're incredibly proud of that relationship. This year will be the 47th anniversary of that exchange. And then as part of the state partnership program, Croatia and Minnesota have been partnered for 23 years now as of this summer. So we'll be hitting our 24th year in the summer of 2020. Just a great relationship. And I can tell you it's at the highest levels. I've had the opportunity to meet with the president of Croatia on a couple occasions. I've been able to meet with and discuss challenges and issues with both the chief of defense and the minister of defense. I'm in constant contact with the defense attaché in Washington, D.C., as it relates to this fabulous relationship that we've had. And so as Croatia continues to professionalize and mature its armed forces, we're right along with them during that process because we learned so much from them as well. What a great partnership that is.
Sir, we were able a couple of years ago to go on the Norwegian Exchange ourselves, and the Norwegian Home Guard are some wonderful folks, and what a great relationship there. That's got to be... Everybody's got to be volunteering for that exchange once in a while.
Yeah, we have no problem with finding people to fill that trip over there.
Sir, 2020 is coming up. It looks like you're at the top of the training regimen and the rotation again. You've got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah, the big event for this coming year as it relates to training will be the National Training Center rotation that our 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team will do. So that'll be about 3,800 soldiers from Minnesota that will go over to the Mojave Desert and do their second iteration of NTC. And traditionally, that has been used as a platform then to deploy the unit into theater. And so while we're not really talking about the deployment piece of that quite yet, we know that it's possible that could happen. But I fully believe this is that, as I mentioned, this is the second iteration for the 1st Brigade at the National Training Center. They're just going to absolutely knock it out of the park and be one of the, the highest rated rotations that the Army Guard and the United States Army has put through that training center. So, it's a very difficult rotation, but it's the best learning environment the United States Army has.
So, sir, that's my understanding. That's essentially a few weeks out in the desert in California up against the Army's best and some of the most realistic training we can get.
Yeah, you make it sound kind of nice, Tom. It's not. It's grueling. It's absolutely grueling. It's taxing. It's grueling. The weather is horrible on a best day. It's a couple weeks, but it's actually more than a couple weeks because of all the movement and equipment that goes out there, the maintenance of the equipment after the rotation, the movement of the equipment back here. It is a very long, rigorous process, but it builds skill. It builds proficiency. It builds our leaders and our soldiers into being the best. So it's a challenge, but as the Minnesota National Guard always does, we'll rise up to that challenge and do well.
And, sir, we watched that closely the last time. The logistics involved are incredible. To load up all of that equipment by train, ship it out to the desert. They use it hard, ship it back. You're fortunate to have a big maintenance facility up at Camp Ripley so they can get it ready for the next mission right away.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this as 1st Brigade involved in this, but it's really the whole team effort across the entire Minnesota Army National Guard as it relates to serving with 1st Brigade there, but ensuring that they're set up for success before and after that rotation.
So a busy year coming up in 2020, and after the NTC, probably a busy year in 2021.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one other item I'd like to talk about just real quick in 2020 is the 34th Infantry Division headquarters is right now is projected to open up in early fall of 2020. As some of your listeners may know, you know, we're going to honor again General Jack Vesey by naming that facility after him. I had the opportunity to walk through that facility earlier this week. It's spectacular. We can't wait to open up the doors of that facility. It is head and shoulders above anything we've ever built here in Minnesota.
And that's right here in the Twin Cities.
In Arden Hills, yeah.
Very good, sir. Well, General, we've just got about a minute left. You're always looking for new soldiers and new airmen because you lose some of your force every year. They retire. They move on. How's recruiting going?
You know, recruiting both in the Army and the Air continue to excel. You know, we have, as it relates to end strength, we're number one across the country in terms of our percent of fill. It's just amazing how our recruiters continue to answer the bell and the challenge. And so I would say anybody who's looking at doing something a little bit different, you know, your Minnesota Army National Guard, Minnesota Air National Guard are there. If you're looking for education benefits like I was when I joined the Iowa National Guard. But it's more than that today. It's a great way to get health care for yourself, a great way to get health care for your family at a very reasonable amount of money. You also get a job skill. And I think for me, you know, while the education benefit was very important to me, so was the idea of doing something different and the adventure, if you will, of joining the military. So this, you know, gave me the opportunity for that adventure, but also allowed me to, stay home and pursue my college degree when I was a young soldier. So
and you build some lifelong friendships.
You do. Absolutely. You do that's an understatement, Tom.
General, thanks for joining us today, and looking forward to having you on the show more in 2020, and we hope it's a great year for the Minnesota National Guard.
Thanks, Tom, and congratulations on 500 shows. Thanks to you. Thanks to Zach, too, who sits in the back here, puts it all together. I deeply appreciate everything he does for us, too.
Thank you, sir. That was Major General John Jensen, Minnesota's Adjutant General on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk to the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This has been our year in review show. In the first half, we talked to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard about 2019 and 2020. And on this half of the show, we're going to talk to Larry Herkey, who was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019. And Commissioner Herkey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Sir, you finished your first year in office as commissioner of the MDVA. That's a busy place over there, isn't it?
It's been a whirlwind. It's a lot of activity within the agency, a lot more than I expected. And it was a great learning experience for me to find out a little bit more about healthcare and how to operate cemeteries and what programs and services that we offer throughout the agency.
And Commissioner, it must have been easier for you because you had 30 years of service in the U.S. Army and in the Minnesota National Guard, and now you just kind of went to another floor of the building, the Minnesota Veterans Service Building, and just continued, only now you're taking care of our veterans, some of which you served with.
Correct. 308,000 as of today, veterans in Minnesota. It's sort of like a military assignment. About the time you get it figured out, usually you're assigned about 2 years. Took about 2 years to figure out the job, and you'd be reassigned. But hopefully here we'll stay in place a little bit longer and get some good work done for the agency.
And, sir, we're going to, in the next segment, we're going to talk about 2020 and things coming up. But I want to take a look at 2019. I think you had a pretty good legislative session.
Oh, it was excellent. We were able to help out, especially in our core program, which is a program provides direct services, both financial services, counseling, and so forth to veterans and their families. We'd been running out of money in that program for several years, and the legislature was nice enough to help us out there, and we'll be able to fund that for the entire year here in 2019, and I'm very proud that we can provide those direct services to our veterans.
Commissioner, it's just an observation from me, but it seems like when we talk about veterans issues, Democrats and Republicans kind of come together, and there isn't quite as much partisanship, let's say, in as there is maybe in some other issues.
I think that to be true. The governor told me this is one area that they were all in the room, and everyone put up their hands and voted for the modest increases I had asked for to cover specific areas that we really needed more help and assistance with for the Department of Veterans Affairs.
And Commissioner, your office is kind of divided into two halves. You've got the programs and services side and then the healthcare division. On the healthcare division, I understand your people won some awards.
Oh, yes. We've done quite a few different awards. I think one of them was the Delta Dental Award for Simone Hogan, our senior director there. She had come up with the program for having health care for your teeth, your dental care, being provided in the actual veterans' home itself. And that's a significant help and assistance because dental care is an important part of your overall health care. And by doing that, we've demonstrated longevity and better lives for those veterans that are with us in the home. And our focus is really to try to be able to do that now, preventative care for the greater Minnesota homes also.
And Commissioner, I understand Laverne and Silver Bay were named two of the best nursing homes in the country.
Yes, U.S. News and World Report had identified those two homes. That's quite an honor. Something that was a little bit unexpected, but we had had quite a few areas that we'd been ranked well in from the Pinnacle Independent Quality Rating Firm. That it indicated that we were amongst the top homes both in Minnesota and across the country.
Commissioner, by the way, we're speaking to Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, I'm always curious, did we make some progress on the trust bridge out at the Minneapolis VA campus?
Well, I think I told you, Tom, that was the first question, my first email I got when I took over in office, and I'm happy to indicate to you that we're finishing. We extended the painter, the general contractor was the painter in this case, and they're finishing painting right now. And we've had the inspections complete, so the information has been now given to the Department of Transportation for review. And we have an opening or ribbon cutting planned for the January 9th.
What a great relief to have two ways to get on and off that.
It'll be from a safety and many other aspects, it'll be a much better situation for the Minneapolis Veterans Home campus.
Commissioner, in your Programs and Services Division, I note that we opened another state veteran cemetery.
That was a great day. I was up there with the governor, and we had the choir from the U of M, and we had many veterans and veterans organizations, family members, and a little bit rainy that day, but it was wonderful to open that that cemetery. The cemetery itself has really taken off. We've had quite a few burials to date, and I think it's going to be a really popular place. We have a large concentration of veterans in the Duluth area, and I think this will be a great asset. Again, our intent is to try to get a state veteran cemetery or a federal cemetery within 75 miles of each veteran in Minnesota.
So now we have state veteran cemeteries, Little Falls, Preston, Duluth. And is there another one coming?
We were almost there. We put in for funding for the Redwood County one, which is just outside of Redwood Falls, just to the east. And our plan is to create a cemetery there. I think it's about 60 acres. And the intent would then be to get to that 75 miles or less for everyone in Minnesota between cemeteries we have in the state and the ones around us in the surrounding states.
And Commissioner, I note that you've been working very closely with Governor Tim Walz. Both of you go back to the military service together.
Yes, we were in St. James together as Captain Herkey and First Sergeant Walz. Had a little over a year together that we worked side by side.
And now it's Governor and Commissioner.
Yes, it's unique. Now we flipped the other way around, but I think we still work pretty well together.
Well, he has veterans and our service members at heart, but I know he's also, you've been working with him really closely on veterans homelessness.
We have. We've had a great year here with veterans homelessness. We've, since the inception of the program, this is going several years back, we've had over 2,000 veterans that we placed, but this year alone, we're at 480 was the number that I was received that we actually found housing for this year. I believe we're going to be well over 500. We're going to break a record for the number of people that we're going to be able to house. Success, though, has brought more people to us. More people are coming off the couch, homeless veterans that maybe didn't think they needed help previously, but they're seeing success within the state. They're coming to us and saying, now I do need some help. I'd like to be able to create a situation where I can contribute more to society. So it's been very successful, and I thank the landlords, and I'm still looking for some efficiency apartments and one-bedroom apartments in the Twin Cities area. So if you're a landlord that has something, I'd appreciate a call, and we'll definitely get you signed up and get some veterans coming your way.
And, sir, once again, you and the governor had a landlord summit with over 100 landlords.
We did. Actually, we had the Secretary Welke from the VA actually called us to thank us for doing that. It was I think it actually created a lot of public awareness, and it's also helped us with bringing more landlords into the fold and getting a greater percentage of their overall portfolios for homeless veterans.
And, Commissioner, last on this segment, I understand that your department filed more than 3,000 federal and state claims for veterans and their dependents this year.
Again, I don't know if that's a record, but that's a big number. And we have people out in 55 different communities, especially through our outreach efforts, and we're also working with the county veteran service officers and our tribal veteran service officers. We've done a great job in reaching out to those veterans that need help and assistance, and that's just a proof of the work that we've actually completed this year.
Commissioner, last question for this segment. Are you hiring? Are you looking for some good employees to help our veterans?
I'm looking for employees in our existing homes. We're always looking for certified nursing assistants and or HSTs, we also call them in the state system, but we're looking for them, and we're also looking for other people. I need, in some of my homes, it's facilities managers or maintenance people or whatever it might be, to include nurses also. And so if you're interested, I have openings in Veterans Affairs.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Larry Herkey, who was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019. Finished your first year, sir, and one of the things we didn't talk about in 2019 is you got an award down in Preston.
Yeah, that was very unique. I had the Undersecretary Reeves was actually out at NASVA at Omaha. And he said, I have some news for the group. And he says, there's four state cemeteries that met the requirements for the Operational Excellence Award for the entire United States. And we were one of those four cemeteries that he actually announced. And it was great. We had a ceremony, and the staff down in Preston was there, and they were able to send out a representative from the VA and provide us a plaque and recognition for actually achieving a score of 98 points out of a possible 100, which is almost unheard of. The only item we couldn't do was setting headstones in the middle of the winter. And we just explained to them that the ground is frozen here and it's very difficult to do that. But everything else we're doing just perfect down in Preston.
And we'll take care of that in the spring.
We will do that, yes.
Congratulations, sir.
Well, thank you.
Commissioner, we've talked in the first segment a little bit about you working closely with the governor, and there's some priorities there, and one of them, of course, is veterans homelessness, and it's not just the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You work together very closely with a lot of other organizations to tackle this problem.
Yeah, so one of our biggest partners, of course, is the federal VA, and they're providing both assistance and help with some of the barriers that homeless veterans might have, but even beyond that, providing the HUD VASH vouchers that are important vouchers that provide rental assistance and also the wraparound services, the counseling that the veterans need to be successful. And I just like my hats off to them. They've done an extraordinary job assisting us in getting additional vouchers. And we actually have about 100 veterans right now that have vouchers and that we could actually be placing. We're just trying to find the right type of apartment, mostly one-bedroom apartments that we still need, and mostly in the metro area.
And you're working closely with organizations such as MACV?
All kinds of different people. There's about 13 people around the table. We have the public housing authorities from all the different areas, the continuums of care representatives from the 10 continuums of care throughout Minnesota. We have several nonprofits that we're working with, and we're also working with the Department of Human Services that's been along with us on this as assistants, and also the Department of Housing and Finance has been with us and a great partner also.
So, Commissioner, we've learned that once you identify a veteran as homeless, you need to find out what caused them to be there, whether it was medical problem or drugs or alcohol or a legal problem. Solve whatever those problems are. Get them a door. Get them somewhere to live. Get them a job. Get them back into the rat race, if you will, but back into society.
And I think MACV does, as one of our partners, does a great job of that, identifying what those barriers are, at least starting the process towards recovery and getting the people back into secure housing, which is the first step towards success.
Commissioner, I know another one of your focuses for 2020 is veteran suicide. We lose too many veterans every day, and I know the governor's made that a priority. You're working hard on that, aren't you?
Yes, over the last several years, we've lost between 103 and 113 per year veterans, and maybe that doesn't sound like it's a lot of people, but I can tell you the number is not going down. We lose about 10,000 veterans per year to natural death, but that means the percentage of veterans that are actually committing suicide is actually going up. We have some issues both in the younger folks, and it seems like the folks over 65 are the two areas we need to focus in on. And the governor's been very supportive. Governor Walz, as a veteran himself of 24 years, understands this is a problem that we need to engage in, and we need to work just as hard as we are with veterans' homelessness. We need to do the same thing for veteran suicide prevention and awareness.
And for our listeners, watch your veterans. If you see them change, if you see them being depressed, if you see them doing something that they don't ordinarily do, ask them, are you depressed? Are you having a problem? Are you thinking about suicide?
And even, Tom, ask them if they have a plan, because sometimes they've already got the plan in their head. And then you know you need to reach out, and we can provide that help through your county veteran service officer, or we can do that also through our LinkVet phone number, which is 888-LINK-VET. And we can provide that help and assistance for that individual veteran.
And the Minneapolis VA hospital has experts that can help. If there is help available, call. Let's stop this suicide problem.
Correct. I want to get this reduced. Our intent is 20% reduction by 2025 and elimination by 2035.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, on Minnesota Military Radio. And Commissioner, the last, I don't know how many years you were with the Minnesota National Guard, you were in charge of the real estate and the buildings and all those things. And here you come over and you've finished your first year as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And we've got three new veterans homes coming.
Well, I walked right in, and this is one area that I knew what I was doing from day one. So I got a chance to help and complete the actual design of the veterans homes for Montevideo, for Bemidji, and Preston. All three homes now have been completed as far as their design, and now we're actually pre-qualifying some of the subcontractors that are involved. And so this process is moving along. We know it's been through legal review out at the federal level, and we know we're sitting well, and we're ready to be shovel ready, I guess you could call it, from the federal side, which provides matching funds to the state funds, the $32 million that have already been provided by the state in the 2018 legislature.
And those homes will be in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. And once again, you're trying to get your homes scattered across the state so that if veterans do have to go into a home, they can be as close to their family as possible so they can come visit.
The intent, again, is either to be within 2 hours of a federal facility home or within a state facility. And by getting these three additional homes, we've pretty much met that requirement then. So we're really excited about announcement potentially as early as January on the federal funding.
So any guess when these homes might be ready for our veterans to move into? I know it's a long shot.
If we receive the money in January of this year, if we receive the notification we're going to get the funding, we would start construction in May, and we would be able to accept our first veterans in January of 2022.
Very good, sir. And is there still overwhelming demand? Do we have room for
there is.
Veterans?
There's a need out there. We know that there's veterans right now based on the study that we did just recently, that there's veterans out there that could be placed in these homes. And we've even been told by veterans that are in our current homes, you know, if there was one closer to my home, I would actually go there. So I think this would be good. It'll help with the backlog list that exist in each one of the homes today.
Sir, we've just got a few seconds left on the show, but I know you wanted to say something about the great staff that you have at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Oh, I just got a chance yesterday to be at Silver Bay and to tell them thank you for the everything that they've done over the last year. I'd like to say that to all the homes. I'm trying to get out to them again here before Christmas, but they've done a wonderful job. I have about 1,426 employees that work every day for our veterans throughout Minnesota, and they do great work from taking care of them in the home to actually filing those claims we talked about earlier in the show.
Look forward to visiting with you more in 2020.
We look forward to a great 2020, Tom.
Thank you, sir. That was Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is Andrew Lee from iHeartMedia. Mr. Lee, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Seems funny, I'm sitting in your chair here at Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, and you're sitting in the interview chair.
It's only my chair between 6 and 9. After that, it's, you know, to everybody that needs it, it gets to use the chair. It's not my chair, but it's always an honor. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, Tom. Thanks for the invite.
Well, Andrew, you and I met almost 10 years ago, and you had this idea for, you called it a little military radio show, Minnesota Military Public Affairs Show, and a lot has happened in those last 10 years.
It's been it's grown out of control.
But it's all your fault.
Much bigger than I ever anticipated it being. I had no idea the dedication and legwork and effort that not only you would put in, but you know when you brought in the Minnesota National Guard and how much they embraced the concept and how much they saw the value and decided to really make it something special. I never anticipated that and never foresaw that.
So telling the stories of our troops, airmen, and soldiers deployed all over the world, and they've deployed a lot in the last decade, is truly an honor. And then we have the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on, and we talk about the homes for the veterans and the programs and services out there. And of course, we've had the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on, and it's one of the best in the country. Mm-hmm. And by far and away doing a lot of research and taking good care of our veterans, and they participate in the show. And we started here on News Talk AM 1130 at 7 o'clock Sunday mornings, and now we're on 58 stations all over Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. You got more listeners than my morning show.
Well,
that ain't right.
But I think your beer cast is catching up, isn't it?
No, we're still a ways away. We have 58 more stations to add before we catch up to you.
Well, Andrew, I asked you to come in today because next week is our show number 500. That's starting out 2020 with show number 500. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you, sir. And we've had a little fun along the way. I can remember the first time we got you on a military aircraft. It was a C-130 going up to Camp Ripley. That was quite a day, wasn't it?
That was a really fun trip. That was a fun day. Got to fly the C-130 back and forth. Flown in a Black Hawk helicopter back and forth from Ripley. You guys arranged. I've done two trips to Kuwait now and a trip to Norway. I mean, I never would have anticipated the types of things that I've been able to do thanks to the hard work and dedication of you guys.
And you'll always get to remember the dust storms over in the deserts of Kuwait.
Yeah, those are special. A good time.
But wasn't it interesting to see how our soldiers live over there in the desert? And, you know, they've got pretty good barracks and some air conditioning and what have you, but it's hot, but it doesn't slow them down from doing their jobs, does it?
No, it was really impressive. I mean, to see what the work that they put in, the effort that they put in, but then even on their leisure time, you know, even when they're off, they're doing, you know, these races and these physical regimens on their day. I'm like, it's your day off. What are you doing? It's like, this is fun.
Soldiers, they got to stay in shape.
I know, man.
They're called on.
They got to keep working, and it was really impressive.
Well, Andrew, it's been a great decade and a lot of fun to do this show. I never dreamed we'd be on that many stations and have gone all these places, and there's more places to go coming up.
Yeah, where are you taking me next, Tom? You've raised the bar. My expectations are high.
Well, we'll take you back to Camp Ripley first, but I understand there might be an opportunity to introduce you to Africa maybe sometime late next year or the year after. But
this is the first time hearing about this. That sounds amazing.
Well, it's unofficial because that's up to the powers. That's right. Up to the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard. But they are going to have the deployments are still going.
Sure.
We've got some troops down in Texas. The 34th ECAB are headed over to Kuwait. We've got a lot of things coming up for next year and the year after, and the Minnesota National Guard pulls more than its share.
Mm-hmm.
And they do because they do a great job.
It's because they're the best.
They're the best.
It's because they're the best.
And when you're doing that, you get asked to go again.
That's right.
So there's good news and bad news. Good news is you're great. Bad news is let's get over here and do it again.
We got work for you to do.
So I don't think your traveling is done. And we made it through these 500 shows. We got a couple of guest hosts we're training in case something happens to me. But if it's up to me, I'm going to be doing this. We're going to be here 10 years from now talking about the 1,000th show. How's that?
That's amazing. That's incredible. Well, great work, Tom. And, I can't say enough about what this show has become under your guidance and under your work ethic and under your tutelage. And it's been a real phenomenon. And I'm honored to have just a small part to play in it.
Andrew, we're grateful that you gave us this opportunity. I didn't know you were going to ruin my life like this, but that's fine. But we've gotten to meet a lot of nice people and a lot of great, hardworking people in the Guard and veterans. And thank you very much for putting us on the air. And
it's my honor.
I hope our listeners will enjoy. We got a very special show coming up next week for the 500 show. Tune in, find out what's going on. Mr. Lee, thank you for joining us today. We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran or like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us, send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Andrew Lee, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we celebrate show number 500 with some very special guests. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.